So when I say we're taught to live our lives backwards, we're taught to think that I'll make this leap only if I can control all of the variables. So there's no potential for failure and there's no risk involved. But that rarely happens, right? Like part of the excitement of making a leap is the leap itself. If you knew everything that you embarked upon was going to succeed, you would be really bored.
Welcome to Is This All There Is, the podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes of success and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Episode number 43. You may have noticed that we've switched the format of the podcast from dropping every week to dropping every other week. That's so I can really focus on the content for you and make sure that I'm delivering the best content because I appreciate your time and your attention on the podcast. Thanks for listening. And if you find it helpful, please send it to a friend. I want to make sure to get in as many ears as possible. So today's topic is about a couple of things that are intertwined that I am excited to share with you. And the first idea is the idea that we are taught to live our lives backwards. So what I mean by that is so many of you come to me and you're like, I want to do something different with my life, but I don't have it all figured out. And my response to that is, of course you don't have it all figured out because you're not doing it yet. You don't have it all figured out until you're on the other side of it, right? Like I left my job as a high school assistant principal and I started my coaching business and I'm still figuring it out. Like there's no point where you're done. It makes me think about when I was a kid and my mom would go to a horseback riding lesson and I asked her, why do you keep taking lessons? You know how to ride. And she said, well, sweetie, you can always get better. There's always room for improvement. There are always things that are changing. And that's so true. And that's true about anything we embark on in our lives. And you know that from experience, right? Anything that you've done, you've learned, you've grown, you've changed. And it's not like you do a thing and then you're done. But somehow we get this idea that in order to make a leap, we need to have everything all figured out. It's like, I'm going to leap off of this cliff and leap onto the next cliff over this ravine, but I need to know that I'm going to land. And that's not how it works. I'm sorry, my friends. I wish I could offer you a life guarantee that it would all be sunshine and daisies and happiness. But that's not actually what we signed up for, right? We signed up for the human experience. And being a human, some of the time means falling flat on our faces. It means being unhappy. It means, dare I say it, suffering. That doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong. It just means that you're having a human experience. Now, that said, a lot of the suffering that we experience throughout our lives, we create ourselves, right? We create that suffering by resisting what's going on in our lives, telling ourselves it should be different. We create suffering by beating ourselves up, by being mean to ourselves. And we create suffering by trying to control everything outside of us. That's a lot of the work that I do with my clients is I help them stop making themselves suffer by creating suffering in those ways. So anyway, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but I thought that was somewhat relevant. But I want to talk about how we're taught to live our lives backwards. So a lot of the women that I work with have achieved a certain level of success in their lives, whether they'll admit it to themselves or to other people or not. They have had the same career for a while. They may have had the same job for a while. They have done well for themselves, but they're bored or they're burned out or they're just tired or they're unfulfilled. And they're like, the clock is ticking, my friends. It's time to do something new, something more fulfilling.
But that idea of leaving the safety and security, in this case of a job that you've had for a while and you're successful at, can be really scary. And so your brain wants the assurance that whatever you're leaping to will be secure. But you know that's not possible. So when I say we're taught to live our lives backwards, we're taught to think that I'll make this leap only if I can control all of the variables, so there's no potential for failure and there's no risk involved. But that rarely happens, right? Like, part of the excitement of making a leap is the leap itself. If you knew everything that you embarked upon was going to succeed, you would be really bored. I get it. When I say that, I'm like, yeah, but that also sounds amazing. Yeah, but I also have a feeling it would be boring. Like, let's imagine that you set out to achieve all of these goals. You achieve them easily. And you're like, eh, that wasn't even hard. I'm going to set some more goals. You set all the goals, you achieve them easily. You're like, yeah, it's kind of boring. I don't know if you've ever watched The Good Place. I don't want to give any of it away, but if you have, you know that the idea of heaven in The Good Place is kind of boring. It's like, we can have anything we want and we can do anything we want. So what's the point? So we don't need that guarantee that everything's going to work out before we leap, which is good because it's really rare to get that guarantee. So I'm thinking about a past client who had a really successful job in advertising, but what she wanted to do was work for a nonprofit. She had been volunteering for a particular nonprofit in her area that worked with young girls, and she was really excited about their mission and really loved volunteering there, and her goal was to work there. But she was like, I just need to know that I'm going to be successful, right? But you can't know that. But our brains crave that security. So we're taught to plan our lives. We're taught basically to backwards map our lives. So the teachers in the room know what I'm talking about. So for every lesson plan, you backwards map from the learning targets, from the objectives. Which totally makes sense, because when you're teaching a class, you don't want to just ramble and not have a plan. You want to know where you're headed. And you need to know that you're going to get where you're headed, that you're going to achieve those objectives. And so teachers have the objective, and then they backwards map from there what they need to teach the students so the students can reach the objective. And we tend to approach our goals the same way, right? Like, a year from now, I'm going to leave my job and open my own business. And so here are all the things that I need to do. And that part of goal setting makes sense. Like, I'm okay with that part of goal setting. But where we get ourselves into trouble is we feel like we have to have everything figured out before we make the leap. We feel like we have to have everything figured out before we take the first step even. I shouldn't even call it a leap. Like, it feels like a leap. But in this example of leaping, a secure, quote unquote secure, because, right, you still could get laid off. Anything can happen. But I'm not trying to freak you out. So it's secure that your brain thinks is secure job for something that makes your heart sing that doesn't feel as secure, which feels scary. You feel like you have to have where you're going all mapped out. So many of you are like, yeah, I'm really burned out in my job. In fact, I'm really burned out in my industry, but I don't have everything figured out about where I'm going next, which I get. I mean, the human brain likes certainty. The human brain is like, would love it if you didn't do anything different. You did the same thing day in and day out. But we can't always have that certainty, and we let that hold us back. I think that's my main point that I'm getting to, is we let the lack of certainty hold us back in the name of safety. So I just listened to an amazing book. I highly recommend it. I think it's only available as an audiobook, which is interesting, but it's by Seth Godin, and it's called Leap First. And there are only two chapters, but it's all about how we're just naturally risk averse and how to counteract that so that you can create, as he says, your art in the world, whatever form that art takes.
And one of the things that he says is, do you want to be safe or do you want to be good? And he talks about how, say, a fast food worker, their primary job, given the choice of do you want to be safe or do you want to be good, they would choose safe, right? Because there are a lot of hazards in fast food jobs. I haven't worked a fast food job. I did pizza and ice cream when I was in high school, but not fast food, but I can imagine all of the hazards in that job. So they would very likely choose safe. However, an entrepreneur, it might be better off choosing good. And I'm not saying these two things, I don't want to oversimplify it. I'm not saying that these two things are mutually exclusive, right? Like, you probably can be safe and good in a variety of positions. But we tend to gravitate towards safety. That's what our brain prefers, obviously, because our brain wants to stay alive. But in order to create any kind of mark on the world, in order to create any kind of innovation, in order to create, period, we have to think about what it takes to be good. And not good in the sense of other people approve of me, but good in the sense of I am pushing the boundaries here. I am creating my art. I am throwing it out in the world. I am seeing what sticks, and I'm continuing forward. And that's really all our dreams require of us. Our dreams require us to make that leap, not from job A to job B, but to make that leap of faith of, I'm going to leave this thing that feels safe in order to leap towards this thing that where I get to be good. Yeah, you definitely have to listen to this audiobook. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's Seth Godin, Leap First. So would you rather be safe or would you rather be good? There are times when it makes sense to choose safety, right? And I'm not going to list those times because they're different for different people. I'm not saying if you're terrified, absolutely terrified of leaving your job, then yeah, you should leave it and go start something new. But if you're feeling called to do something different, if you're feeling that pull to create your mark in the world, if you're feeling burned out of doing what you're doing right now, then I would encourage you to start leaping. So when I say the way that you're approaching your life is wrong, I don't think I actually said that, but you're approaching it, we're taught to approach life backwards. You don't have to have it all figured out. The analogy that comes to my brain when I explain this to clients is, like, imagine you're in this beautiful garden and there's a gazebo in the distance and it's really foggy. So you can barely see the outline of the gazebo, but you know it's huge and beautiful. You can't see the gazebo. You can't see the details of it. You can't see the ornate woodworking on it. You can't see the decoration on it, but you know that it's there. You can vaguely see the outline of a gazebo. You can't see all of the paver stones that are leading to the gazebo. You can't see the whole path, but you can see the path right next to your feet, and you can see the next step of the path, and that's all you need. You don't need to know all of the ins and outs and the dimensions and the scale and all of the things with the gazebo, with the finished product of where you're going. In fact, there are so many twists and turns in life, and you know this from experience, so many things can change and so many things can develop while you're on the path that you don't even really want to see the end product yet, because it's going to be so much better than you imagined. So you can't see where you're going. You don't have a fully formed picture of it, but you have a vague outline and you can see the next step. That's all you need, the next right step. Even if you can't see the gazebo, to extend this metaphor, even if you're not sure where you want to go, you have a few different ideas, start playing around. Ask yourself, what's the first step? Maybe doing some research, maybe asking some people, maybe reading about it. What's the first step? Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, I have to have this all figured out. I have to have steps A through Z all outlined, and I have to have a backup plan before I can start moving forward. That's the thing. You don't have to have it all figured out before you can start walking towards it. It's like if you're training for a marathon and you're going to run the marathon, but you can't start training until you've run the marathon, right? Nobody does that. Nobody is like, I'm going to go from couch to marathon. And then once I run the marathon and I have proof that I can run a marathon, then I'll invest in the marathon training. No, that's not how it works, my friends. And that's okay, because just starting on the path is so much fun. After being stuck in your head for so long about, my current situation is not working out for me. I need a different situation, but I need to have the different situation all figured out, and then feeling stuck and paralyzed and stressed out and miserable, just do something. Think about what sounds fun. And if you don't know what you want to do in the future, what you want your life to look like in the future, that's totally fine. You don't have to. Maybe what you're meant to do, you don't even know it exists. Maybe you'll discover that as you walk along the path towards the gazebo. Maybe you don't even know what the gazebo is. That's where you get to follow what lights you up. And that's one of my favorite advice to give people is, what's fun for you? If you enjoy working in the garden, go spend time in your garden. Who knows what inspiration you'll get? If you enjoy spending time with animals, go spend time with animals. What sounds fun? What would you like to explore? You want to take a ceramics class? Awesome, do it. You want to learn drafting? Awesome, do it. You don't have to have a rationale for what you're doing. You don't have to be like, well, I'm planning on being an architect, but I'm going to take this drafting class first. I mean, that's totally fine. But you could also be like, I want to learn how to draft. That sounds fun to me. So I'm going to take a drafting class. So here's how this has played out in my life. I like to think of myself as being the master of the career pivot. And I'm talking about jobs and careers because that's a pretty concrete example that really the art of following what lights you up and the art of not having to have it all figured out could apply really for any part of your life. So my career started, let's see, I'm thinking about how far to back up. In college, I was an art history major. And then I figured I should tack on something practical. So I became a double major, art history and psychology. And then I discovered museum studies. And my senior year, I focused in museum studies and did an internship in an art museum. And I thought, museum education sounds amazing. That's what I'm going to do. I get to be around art. I get to work with kids. My microphone just fell down. Anyway, I thought museum education sounded super fun because I got to be around art. I got to be in a museum. I got to teach. I got to work with kids, and that was super fun. And then I started looking for jobs, and I realized that in order to work in an art museum, at least at the time, it might have changed, the salary would be really low, and I would have to move somewhere, likely, that I didn't necessarily want to live, at least to start out. And I talked myself out of it. And so I ended up working for a business process reengineering consulting firm in the healthcare industry. And that job was actually really rad. I loved that job. I flew down to the Stanford Medical Center every week, every Monday. I was living in Portland and worked with their main admitting team to help them admit patients more efficiently. And I loved the team that I worked on and all of the things, but the grind of traveling every week for work was exhausting. And so I left that job and started working at the main office of the consulting firm in marketing. And that was really interesting work also, and I learned a lot from it, but it didn't get at what my heart wanted. And so I did some soul searching to figure out what is it that I actually love to do, and I was working with kids. So I decided I wanted to become a high school teacher. And I had two options. Since I was a psychology and art history major, that doesn't really feed into very many high school classes. And so I decided that I wanted to be an art teacher. And I went back to school and got the equivalent of an art degree so that I could teach art, and got a master's in teaching. And I taught for 10 years, and it was super fun. But again, I had the call of, I think I should be doing more. And in fact, backing up, the reason I took the job as a business process reengineering consultant was like, I need to do something practical with my life, right? I can't go off and have fun and do what excites me because I need to do something practical that makes money. But I got super burned out in that job. So anyway, fast forward, I'm teaching, I'm loving it. And that thought comes up again. I need to do something practical with my life. I need to make more money. So I became an administrator, got my doctoral degree, got my administrator license, and I started working as an assistant principal. And there were a lot of things that I loved about that job too, but my inner self-talk, like I was so mean to myself every single day, and that's a pretty high-pressure job. So having the high-pressure job plus just beating myself up all the time, I burned out pretty quickly. And over that time, as I was searching for solutions of what was going to come next, what was my next step, I hired my first coach. And she was phenomenal, and she taught me the tools that I went to get my coaching certification so that I could teach those tools to other people because those tools changed my life. So I started my coaching practice. So you never know, really, like if I had set out in college and somebody had told me, do what you want right now because the job you're going to love is life coaching online. I wouldn't have known what those words meant, right? Like back in the late 90s, Zoom was not a thing. The internet was barely a thing and life coaching was barely a thing. And so following your path, following the path of what lights you up, my path was like, I'm going to do something that lights me up. And now I feel like I need to do something practical. I'm going to do something that lights me up. And now I feel like I'm going to do something practical. Luckily, what lights me up also pays the bills. So that's very fortunate. So here's the latest in the Amanda Career Saga. And this is a really fun story. So some of you know that throughout my life, off and on, I have ridden horses. I've owned horses. I've taught horseback riding lessons. And recently, like over the past 4 years, I have purchased a couple of horses. We bought our horse farm 3 years ago. A lot of you know this story. And so I've had horses in my life, and then I've had my coaching business. And they've always been independent. And my coach, the coach that I work with for a year now, she's been saying, you're going to do something with horses and coaching. And I was like, no, I'm not. That's not a thing. And she would say, yeah, you're going to do something with horses. I'm like, no, I'm not. Horses are my hobby. They're the other half of my life. If we're looking at coaching and horses being two halves, I'm not going to combine them. And then fast forward, my daughter is a member of a local pony club. And one of the women in the pony club, one of the adults, she works at a therapeutic horseback riding center that I worked at 20 years ago when I was first out of college. And she set up one of the pony club meetings at that barn at the therapeutic riding center. And as I was driving out, I was driving my daughter to the meeting and I was thinking, you know, I really miss this community of this riding center. I miss the people. I miss the vibe of it. It's a great place. If they asked me to come back, I'd come back. I wasn't even sure where that thought came from. Like that was such a random thought. I have my career. I'm a life coach. This is what I do. This is how I spend my time. But I went into the meeting and sure enough, the woman who works there, she came up to me and she said, hey, I've been meaning to talk to you. We're looking for a new instructor, just part-time. Would you be interested? And I said, no, you know, I need to focus on my business, all of the things. And then later on, I thought about it and I said, yeah, actually, I am interested. I want to find out more because there was a voice in my head that was like, just find out more. Find out what's going on. You had the thought you want to come back. Here's an opportunity to come back. And here you go. So I emailed the executive director whom I've known for the past 20 years. And she told me about the job and it's just a few hours a week. And I thought, you know, I have the space in my schedule. This sounds really fun. I'm going to apply. So I applied. And the night before my interview, I was thinking, what am I even doing? Is it going backwards to start teaching riding lessons again? I've come so far in my life and my career. I don't want to go backwards, right? And that's just a thought. And a thought is just a sentence in our minds, and all of our thoughts are optional. But this was a thought I was having, is that this would be going backwards. And I was having all this doubt. I was like, I need to focus on my business, focus on my clients, all of the things. I don't need to take another thing on. And I went to the grocery store with my daughter, and we stopped at a store that we don't normally stop at. And I'm having all this doubt. And then for the first time in I don't know how many years, I saw the executive director of this nonprofit horseback riding center. And she's like, hey, we're so excited for your interview tomorrow. I was like, okay, universe. First of all, you drop this in my lap. And then when I'm having doubt, you give me the assurance of showing me the executive director. Fine, I'll see what's happening. So I had the interview. They hired me. I've been teaching riding lessons there a few hours a week since this summer. So again, two separate areas of my life, right? Coaching, horses. So I'm having fun teaching riding lessons there, and I'm invited to a training. And it is to become an equine specialist to work with the horses in their equine therapy program. And I thought, well, I like to learn stuff. That sounds fun because I have a commitment to myself to learn as much as possible. And so I signed up for this training, and I'm not even really sure what to expect. I'm not 100% sure what it is. I'm not sure why I'm there. In fact, I wasn't feeling great the night before, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to bail on this training. But no, I don't bail on things. And so I got up, I went to the training, and as we're going around the room introducing ourselves and saying why we're there, I'm thinking, I don't know why I'm here. I like to learn stuff. And it's the executive director's turn, and she introduces herself, and she says, I'm really excited about the field of equine psychotherapy and equine-assisted learning, and I really would love to develop an equine-assisted life coaching program, and that's part of the reason Amanda's here. And I just thought, oh, this makes sense to me. So I had no idea why I was offered this position. I had no idea why everything fell into place for me to come back to this riding center. I had no idea. I just followed the trail of what felt right. And I kept listening to that inner voice that was like, no, just keep going. Even when it didn't feel right, my inner voice was like, just trust it. Just keep going. And so I did. I did. I made that leap of faith. I didn't even know that equine-assisted coaching was a thing. I knew about equine-assisted therapy. In fact, we have a therapist who works at our farm one day a week and brings clients here. So I knew that was a thing. But I didn't know that equine-assisted life coaching was a thing, which is really funny because there are a lot of similarities between coaching and therapy. So of course it's a thing. And so long story short, the arm of my business that includes horses, equine-assisted coaching, was born. So I'm super excited about this. So equine-assisted coaching is basically coaching in the presence of a horse. So if you have ever been around horses or have seen horses, have interacted with horses, they have a really calming presence. That's part of the reason that I love riding and interacting with horses and just going out to see the horses at the end of the day. It feels like all of your worries in the world fall away. And when entering the space around a horse, many humans encounter a sensation of calm and peace. And when humans are hurting, they feel like they can think more clearly. They feel calmer and better when near a horse. So equine-assisted coaching is using this power of the horse, I don't want to say as a tool because horses are living beings, they're not tools, but as another facet of our coaching work together. So it allows people to interact with horses through experiential play. And so much magic comes out of that. I try to not be too like magic, sparkle rainbows, but really like the alchemy of people and horses working together is magic. So whether you like being around horses or you're feeling a little skittish or even terrified of horses, That's okay. Equine assisted coaching can be an amazing transformative experience for you. And there are a few reasons for this. It's because horses' brains are created similarly to the human brain in regards to their fight, flight, and freeze response, as well as their ability to regulate, connect, and think differently. So horses can act as mirrors for whatever's going on with us. So if you're struggling with feeling overwhelmed and you get in the presence of a horse, the horse can automatically help you regulate your nervous system so you feel less overwhelmed. The horse will also give you feedback about how you're presenting, how you're acting, how you seem, because horses are basically 1,200-pound BS detectors. You can't wear a mask, I mean figuratively a mask, around a horse. They really respond to authenticity. They respond to who you actually are. And if you're pretending to be someone else, they don't like that. And I don't mean that they strike out or anything. They just will walk away. And so if you're looking to interact with a horse, you really need to be fully present and be fully yourself. And the good news is horses are 100% non-judgmental. They don't care if you're a wreck. They don't care if you're paying your bills on time. They don't care if your hair looks nice. They don't care if, I don't know, you were mean to your kids. They don't care. They want you to show up as you, and they want to be there to support you. So a horse can feel your heartbeat within a 6 feet radius of your body. Isn't that awesome? And they're attuned to when your heart rate rises and drops as part of their survival mechanism, because they're prey animals. And so they've developed super sensitive reflexes and super sensitive abilities to tune into other creatures around them, humans included. So when your heart rate races, if you're feeling anxious, or you're afraid, they'll feel it. And depending upon how they perceive it, will respond in a way that helps you understand more about yourself that another human might miss. Horses also have an amazing ability to create connection. So obviously a horse doesn't have human language capabilities, but their brainstem and their limbic system are quite similar to ours. They can feel afraid and anxious as much as they can experience connection and contentment. If you ever watch horses in a pasture, you'll notice that they're all grazing. Their tails are probably switching back and forth. They seem calm. And then for each herd of horses, there's a leader. That's the person they've decided is the boss horse. If there is a change in scent in the air, or if there's a change in sound, or if they notice a rustling in the distance, the lead horse will pick its head up and all the other horses will also. So they're super in tune to each other and they're super in tune to their environment. So when we interact with our horse partner in an equine-assisted coaching session, we get to build a real relationship that helps us understand how we show up for others in our lives and what we expect in return. So this is a new branch of my business that I'm super excited about that a few months ago I didn't even know existed, even though my coach was telling me, yeah, you're going to do this. Which the point of this story is to tell you, actually, A, to introduce the equine-assisted coaching component of my business, yay, and B, to tell you that you don't have to know what your end result is of where you're headed in your life. You won't know until you're dead. At least that's my philosophy. But all you can do is keep following the path of what lights you up and see what happens and be open to opportunities, even when they don't really make sense. If that inner voice of yours is saying, yeah, follow this, it might be really quiet. It might come as a feeling. It might not come as an actual voice that says, yeah, do this thing. But you'll know when it's time to follow something. So I still, of course, have the main component of my business, which is coaching people who identify as women who want to stop feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and anxious and create something amazing in their lives instead. But part of that also will be equine-assisted coaching sessions, both at my farm in Sherwood, Oregon, and at Forward Stride Center for Therapeutic Riding in Beaverton, Oregon. So I have a workshop coming up for those of you who are local to the area or would like to travel. I would love to see you. It will be October 14th. That is a Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. And it's going to be all about learning how to build self-trust through working with horses. So we will use one to two of the horses on our farm, our personal farm, who are amazing at what they do. And we will do a bunch of different activities with them where you will learn more about who you are in the world. You'll learn communication skills. You'll learn how to regulate your emotions. And most of all, you'll learn how to develop trust in yourself so you can stop doubting yourself so much. You can stop criticizing yourself so much. And basically, come here as you are and leave as the person you want to be. How do you like that for a tagline? So I'm super excited for this. I will drop a link to our equine assisted coaching program in the show notes. And I hope you'll come out to play for our workshop. So you never know where life will take you. Just keep following the breadcrumbs. All right, friends, I hope that you have an amazing 2 weeks until we talk again.
If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com. That's AmandaryanFear.com, where you can find links to join my free private Facebook group and learn more about working with me.